This week on The Art of Improvement, I am going to have a conversation with CEO of Betty's, Jennifer Newell. Betty's company is reimagining women's health for younger women by meeting them where they are. They provide services that they actually need, like making sure they have a remarkable experience when it comes to their health. I cannot wait to introduce you to Jennifer Newell. It's all coming up next on The Art of Improvement. Thank you so much for joining me today. Jennifer Newell is the CEO of Betty's, and Jennifer's probably already tired of me because I've bugged her by talking to her for 20 minutes before we've even started recording. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. I am amazed and blown away, totally blown away by the concept that you have. Betty's company, Betty's. Can you tell everybody else, now that I've picked your brain and found out all about it, tell everybody else what it is.
Absolutely. So Betty's is a women's health company that really caters uniquely to Gen Z women. So the younger demographic of women, we care for them from period up to pregnancy planning. And we provide gynecology, mental health, and wellness care. So we integrate those three specialties for them. And then we also have a store where we sell women's health products, like hygiene products, general wellness products, and sexual health products, and a lifestyle site where we educate women on all things health and wellness.
It's so funny when you say that. It sounds like something that I've heard a million times. Women's health, women's health. I don't, you know, okay, that's good. The one word that changes it all is younger women. Mm-hmm. Because as we spoke before we started recording, I was like, I don't get it. Let me think back to when I was, what was it, sixth grade, seventh grade, when you start having to, oh my gosh, I'm a woman, yippee. You know,
right.
I never once thought about going to see a gynecologist, or I don't think that it ever entered my mind, and it definitely, I have five sisters and it never entered my mother's mind. I mean, it was like taboo to even speak to my mom. It wasn't taboo. It was like, I didn't want to.
Right.
So what is the difference for, you know, healthcare for younger women than it is for any woman?
Well, and it's changed over time, changed in the sense that I think healthcare has really picked up on the realization that, you know, younger women absolutely need care. And it's almost like we've reserved women's health for pregnancy. You're either trying to prevent it, achieve it, or manage it, a pregnancy. And if you're not doing those things, the message has been that women's healthcare isn't for you. When the reality is, we have these young women who, you know, at 12 is the average age for a woman to start her period. You know, she is kind of getting her periods to a place where they're, you know, her body's catching up. They're getting a little bit more regulated, you know, in her early teen years to mid-teen years. That is the time when you are starting to really understand her symptoms. You know, are her periods painful and disruptive to her everyday life? Because that's doesn't have to be. It may be, you know, medically okay, physiologically okay, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's normal or has to be. It also may not be okay. It may be an underlying condition like endometriosis or polycystic ovary syndrome, right? We have all of these conditions that young women don't really understand, you know, that they may have because they don't understand what is normal for their bodies. And so we don't have a system in place in healthcare that is really caring for these young women at this stage to understand that. You know, we're also, you know, as women, you know, get a little bit older, you know, they're 17, 18, that period of time, they're under the care of their pediatrician. But once they're 18 and maybe they move away to college, you know, they age out of pediatrics. And then where do they go for care? Because we don't really have a primary care system set up. And even that system, you know, doesn't really look at the woman's cycle in the same way that, you know, OBGYN does. So you're missing these critical years where, you know, these women are going off to college. They're maybe going to their first job, living on their own for the first time. That's the period of time where they're, you know, also going to be sexually active and for the first time or in for their earliest times. And we're missing opportunities to really educate them and come alongside them and really help them understand, you know, healthy choices when they're hitting these points of their lifestyle.
It's so crazy. When you talk, I mean, my mind is going back to that time when I went to college or when it enters your mind, maybe I should see a doctor about this, because before that, it never even entered my mind. And then as I grew again, teens, you only go to the doctor or for, you know, OBGYN for if you have a problem.
Right.
What is this? Oh my gosh, you know, I better go after something over the counter didn't work.
Right.
So
absolutely,
it is so crucial. And I'm going to talk too much, but going back to what you were saying about cramps or anything that happens that you may be different from somebody else. I mean,
exactly.
Everybody's different. It's so crazy that
right.
People didn't think about that.
Right. It's different, you know, and we really encourage our patients and our we call them our Bettys, our community, to track their cycle, understand, you know, what is normal for them each time that they have a period, or not even just when they're, you know, on their period, but every single day, because the cycle for a woman is, you know, a 28 to 35 day cycle. And so there are different fluctuations in your hormones throughout that entire period of time, not just the time that, you know, she's bleeding. And so we have her track every single day so that we can understand what are her symptoms, not so we can, so she can understand, right? How am I going to feel this week? Am I going to have low energy? Am I going to have insomnia? Am I going to have, you know, painful cramps? Am I, you know, all of those things really affect just her day-to-day life, her ability to go to school, her ability to go to work. And one thing that we haven't really talked about yet that is fascinating and really difficult is for women between the ages of 14 and 25, they are twice as likely to experience depression as their male peers.
I was just going to bring that up. Mental health is so crucial, period or no period,
right?
In these years. And so that's part of it too.
Yes. So this, there's an article by NIH, National Institute of Health, and they say that globally, starting at puberty, young women are at the greatest risk of severe depression and mental disorders. So it's a global phenomenon that happens for younger women as they're getting into adolescence, that their mental health starts to really deteriorate. And we have to have some focus around that. And for us, that means looking at, so we screen every patient. We screen for mental health, gynecology, and just general healthy living. So that's nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress management. So we look at all of those things, and then we make recommendations, and we have counselors on staff, healthy living experts on staff. So it's not just gynecology, but we factor in those gynecological considerations, right? So what is happening on their cycle? Because we know there are going to be days where of the month of their cycle where, you know, their mental health concerns might be more severe based on their hormone fluctuations. So we're really trying to look at all of those things together.
I hate to even, you know, bring up PMS because it's there's been so many jokes about it.
Right. It gets blown off. So young women really blow off their painful periods because they don't know what's normal. And they've heard somebody say sarcastically, oh, well, welcome to womanhood. Or, oh, that's just PMS. Everybody has that. And that's not necessarily true. And so you're exactly right. I love that you mentioned that because we really have normalized problems
as opposed
to normalizing healthcare.
It is that is so significant to me because when you have pain that no one else has and no one else can experience because it is yours, people always say, oh, you have a higher lower tolerance to pain, or you have a higher tolerance to pain. That's why it doesn't bother you as much. But that again just sweeps everything under the rug to say, oh, well, I guess that, you know, I just hurt more because I can't take it. And that is just, that's mind blowing to me.
Right. It's such a toxic way to think about it. And, you know, it's not to say that, yes, periods, they're painful, they're uncomfortable. That's okay, right? They're a little bit gross. I mean, those are all normal-ish. I struggle to use the word normal there. Those are all things that, yes, kind of happen. But even if it is, even if a certain level of pain is normal for a person, if it's so disruptive to their life, even if nothing is physiologically wrong with them, there's no underlying condition, there are still ways to treat that so that it's not so disruptive, so that it is more comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why we have modern medicine, is to be able to do that.
You're a hero, and you're going to be a bigger hero to so many girls, women. It's so ridiculous that we're having to talk about this today, but so I'm so excited for you because this is something that I asked you. I said, this doesn't exist. Why doesn't this exist? And if you are just now joining us, this is the CEO of Betty's, Jennifer Newell, and she, I guess you've just reimagined what healthcare should have been, and how can it not continue to grow? I mean, there mm-hmm. are so many facets. You talked about mental health. You talked about, you know, pain, regular exams. What else mm-hmm. will you encompass? Can you talk about that again?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I've been in healthcare now for, I guess, almost 15 years, and most of my background was with a healthcare consulting company. So doing business development, best practice development, and marketing. And, you know, healthcare is a really complex industry. If you're not in healthcare, it's probably hard to realize that the patient in a lot of cases isn't the actual customer of that medical practice. A lot of times the customer is going to be the insurance company or the employer. You have to think about who is paying for those services. And so because of that, and because of a number of other things, what you see in most groups, physician groups, is this need for a certain level of productivity. So you have to see 20 to 30 patients every day to really be able to make ends meet, right? No one at this stage, no one is really going into this business to make a lot of money. So what we've done is, because it's so important for us to be able to spend time with our patients, because you're a young woman, you don't know what questions to ask. So we have to source those. You don't know how to describe your symptoms. So it's our job to really pull that from our patients. So we spend 40 minutes with each patient in a visit, our provider does, which is a really long time.
It is.
Right? And you don't hear of that anymore.
Never.
So there are groups out there who are really trying to set the stage for how can we do this and how can we make this, you know, a viable entity. Now, what we've decided to do is we are really thinking about diversifying revenue, but the revenue isn't the ultimate goal. That's really just to offset some of the cost of care, when really it's how do we create this community around young women. So we have a lifestyle site. We do a lot of content, a lot of education on that site. We want to build up our community and our presence there, get a lot of engagement from our visitors. That's something that down the road we want to eventually grow and grow and grow, and that become a way to offset the cost of care by revenue to that. The other thing that we're doing is we are building out the Awkward Shop. So I mentioned that, you know, we sell women's health products.
I love that. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. We're going to put that online. So we'll have it'll be a digital retailer. So just like we're reimagining healthcare in terms of the services that we provide and how we provide those and what that model looks like, we also want to reimagine how women buy their personal products. Because think about it. Right now you go into HEB or Walgreens and there's that one aisle, and they've put all of the Awkward products on that one aisle. And so if you're, you know, and I love that, you know, now I talk to people about this and they're like, you know, I'll even talk to men about that. And they're like, oh, I don't mind. I'll go, you know, buy tampons for my wife or my teen daughter, and it's no problem. And I'm like, that's great for you. So excited for you. But what about that 17-year-old girl that's like pacing the aisle until you leave that aisle because she doesn't want, you know, for you to see her buy her products, right?
It's not like the wine counter where you're like, oh, he bought that. I'll buy that.
Right. And it's overwhelming. There are so many products on the market now. So it's really difficult to understand, you know, what do I need? I have friends who just recently sent me pictures of products they bought. And, you know, they're like, what can I do with this? This is, I don't know what this is. What do I do with this? Because they bought the wrong size, or they, you know, kind of bought something that they thought was going to work and then it didn't work. And, you know, it's hard to know.
I get it, because the other day, and I'm guilty, you know, I sometimes watch, you know, videos on TikTok, but I watched an entire live of a girl that was selling a cup and how to put it in and what it did. And people are asking all these questions. I mean, and it was nonstop. And I'm thinking, this person is a stranger. And this is a product I've never heard of. But the engagement that she had, because it was a product that people wanted to know about, was incredible. I was thinking, yeah, this is something that no one talks about. And So that's why your idea is fantastic.
Thank you.
Let me, again, this is CEO of Betty's, Jennifer Newell. How can people find out about you?
Well, first you can visit our website. So bettysco.com, BETTYSCO.com. We're also all over social media. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, you can find us. We're some version of Betty's Co. Those would probably be the best ways. You can also find me on Instagram. I'm Jen_Newell, Jen with two N's. Would love for you to follow along on this journey and check us out.
So with you just being in San Antonio right now, people can also make virtual appointments. Talk about that.
Yes. So that's what's so exciting is we can serve any woman in the state of Texas with our virtual care. And a lot of gynecology can be done virtually.
What?
Yes. All of our counseling, of course, is done virtually. And actually, all of our healthy living visits are done virtually, too. But gynecology, so much of it is based on symptoms. So there are certain recommendations for an in-person exam. Those typically begin around the age of 21. Unless recommended otherwise by your doctor. But an annual exam, or an annual visit, just consultation, is recommended starting between the ages of 13 and 15. But by 15, annual visits. So for any parents of younger teens listening, 15 is the age you would at least want to start sending your daughters to see a gynecologist every year. And that's mostly for consultation and conversation. And that's where we talk about tracking your cycle, can start to understand based on symptoms what is going on and make recommendations. So all of that can be done virtually. And we really want to push that because, of course, that's going to be the most convenient way for a person to get care is just in the comfort of their own home, you know, according to their own schedule and not have to drive somewhere and, you know, spend more time.
How fantastic. And again, how can they find you?
Same way, bettysco.com, and you can go click on the care button and book an appointment, and that will walk you through all of the steps to be able to access a care provider.
Jennifer, this is such a fabulous idea. So fantastic. And I see this, we're so lucky to have it in San Antonio, but I see this as being something that everybody needs. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, you're in the beginning stages, but I mean, how can it not grow bigger? Is it in your plans to grow bigger?
It is, absolutely. So we are actually doing a fundraising round right now. So if you're a potential investor or want to get involved somehow, please reach out to me. LinkedIn is probably the best way to do that. But we do plan to grow. So we want to branch out into Austin and Houston and, you know, really grow in Texas. Obviously, there's so much we can do in just this state, but we want to eventually be a national brand. And so move from Texas into other states through different types of partnerships with physicians and franchise Betty's just across the U.S.
And so how does it work with payment for services?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do take commercial insurance and we are in network with most of the major commercial insurers. Of course, we always say, check your plan. Every plan, even with the same insurance company, can be a little bit different. But we are in network with most of them. And then we also have really affordable cash pay. And I say affordable knowing, you know, that just is subjective to a person's finances. But compared to what the cost of care is in most places right now, we're pretty affordable. So our visits are $99. We also offer follow-up visits at half the price, so $49. Our counseling visits range from $79 to $99. And then we also have affordable labs. We have partnered with LabCorp. And so our labs can be, I think they're averaging right now at about $40.
That's incredible. Okay, so you are for the younger women. And so, I mean, I'm not going to glom on to your services, but what would be the average age of the client that you would treat?
Yeah, so we really like to base it on lifestyle. We say from period up to either pregnancy planning or perimenopause. Now, we do have patients in their 40s. I would say most of our patients are between the ages of 18 and 24. Most of our services are really geared toward women in that phase of life. However, we have and expect to have patients that kind of stick with us for a long time because maybe they're not planning to have biological children anytime soon and they're really satisfied with their care, which we love. We're capable of caring for women at that point, or maybe they have had children and, you know, at that point we don't provide obstetrical care. So that's why we refer out for fertility services and obstetrical services. You know, if our patients want to come back to us, we'll continue to care for them. The next stage of life where we do say, you know, we would recommend a patient go elsewhere is once that patient is getting into perimenopause. So once you start having those menopausal symptoms, you know, we really want to have our patients go to a provider that's going to specialize in that phase
of life.
Absolutely.
When are you going to start that one? Betty's mother.
I know. You know, maybe we'll have an adjacent company that will do that. That would be fun. But there are some good companies that are emerging in that space because there's just as much of a need there as there is for younger women. Again, I mentioned kind of pregnancy being where most women's health providers really specialize now, but there are some good providers that are working in that space.
I hate that we only have, you know, 5 minutes left, but I have to ask you so that everyone will know, I mean, how in the world did you come up with this idea and how did it even come to fruition?
You know, it really was the combination of several factors. So the first being, and probably the most important to my background is just my own personal story. So I was 17 and I had not started my period. So I went to see a gynecologist for the first time. I had been seeing a pediatrician. They followed and said, you know, at 16, go have it checked out. So of course, you know, I was a teenager. I waited an extra year.
Of course. Yeah.
So by 17, I hadn't started. And you know, again, that wouldn't have necessarily meant abnormal, but it was very unusual since most women start around the age of 12. At my first gynecological visit, I had a blood test done and I was diagnosed with a condition called premature ovarian failure, which means my ovaries just for whatever reason, we don't know why, they just stopped working. The result of that is infertility. So I'm unable to have biological children. But that was not necessarily the most traumatic aspect of my experience. After that, I spent about 5 years just trying to navigate the healthcare system, which was not set up well to care for me as a younger woman, right? I would wait 3 hours to see a specialist. I would get 5 minutes with the specialist. I'd get some medication and be sent home, you know, not knowing what questions to ask, didn't get my questions asked, not knowing what symptoms were normal, experienced a range of awful symptoms, and eventually took myself off of those meds, stopped seeing my doc and, you know, kind of moved on from there. And so it took me about 5 years to get into a rhythm, just to be able to have some treatment that worked for me, that didn't make me feel terrible,
that
made me feel better.
That is so traumatic. Yeah,
yes.
I can see that as just being horrible.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of experiences in there too that were just particularly traumatic. So I, you know, had that experience. Well, after college, I kind of stumbled into a healthcare career. And as I started to talk to more experts in the field of physician practice management and health system management, I started to understand, you know, why I had the experiences I did as a younger woman. So even, and I did that for 10, 11 years. And even after that long, I still wasn't thinking about going into women's health. I had in the back of my mind, you know, maybe if I had it to do all over again, I would go into women's healthcare, but thinking about the clinical side. And fast forward, I just found myself having a lot of conversations around women's healthcare. And started to think through where are we missing the mark? We as the U.S., we as the healthcare system missing the mark. And it kind of came back to younger women. We're not capturing them soon enough, educating them well, empowering them to care for their own health and wellness. And if we did that, then some of these other lingering issues would at least be more resolved. But we need to do this in a way that really is all about just serving this younger demographic, meeting them where they are, catering to their unique needs and preferences. And if we do that and we get that remarkable experience, then, you know, we're going to be able to do something really special and it's going to have long-term impacts for their lives. And then also just for us in general, because we know statistically, and there's enough research that shows that when women in a community thrive, the entire community thrives.
Right. I cannot thank you enough for coming today. Thank you for what you're doing, Jennifer, because it's amazing. It's so needed. And I can't wait for more and more people to find out about you. You are the CEO of Betty's, or you can find them at bettysco.com. Jennifer Newell, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you.